Cole Hasbar?
Elohim.
Okay, now I want you to repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father.
Dear Heavenly Father.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Because Pastor Sandy.
Because Pastor Sandy.
Had no message last night.
Had no message last night.
And he had no message this morning.
And he had no message this morning.
He had nothing to say. But you had plenty to say. So you gave him a message.
So you gave him a message.
Thank you, Lord. My goodness. I was really scared this morning. I was like, I don't have nothing to say. Then all of a sudden, you know, you pray and then God will go, I got you. All right, and then now I'm all excited about the message because of what the Lord has given me, okay? Let me see that picture over there, Pastor Ben. I just want to show it. All right. What's the guy's name at LAPD that did this?
Jonathan Chandler.
Jonathan Chandler did this picture for us, okay? Now watch this. You go down. You go down from Galilee to the Dead Sea, lowest part of earth, then you go up to Jerusalem. That's the journey we're on, okay? That's the journey Jesus is on. That's the journey we're on. This is a great picture. I could talk about this picture all day. Praise God.
Amen.
Here you go. Put that back.
Amen.
Till we hang it.
That's beautiful.
Okay. I want you guys to go to Exodus chapter 19, because that's where we're going to start off today, okay? And before we get started, I want to tell you about how we got today's message. It really started a couple days ago when God gave me a dream. And at the end of the dream, the words I got were, "It's closer than you think." So I'm going to tell you the dream that I had. And the dream was I was at a very large church. They had a big lobby and everything, you know. And at the church, everybody was going inside of the church, you know, getting ready for the service to start. Then all of a sudden, you know, we looked outside the church and it was like a big window. You could look outside and across the street from the church was a big field. And in the big field, an explosion came in the middle of the ground. And water started coming out of the ground and started filling the earth. Then I saw another explosion of water came out of the ground. And we're looking, and this field is across the street. And we're watching as these explosions are happening and this water is filling up on top of the earth. But we're inside the church and we're across from the field. Then we saw another one that was a little bit closer to the church and it blew up and water started filling. And then we were in the lobby and one of the explosions happened in the middle of the church. It went boom, and then water started flowing inside of the church. And then another explosion inside of the church. And I was like, oh my God, how are we going to get out of here? There's so much water now. But there was a narrow path that led to the exit. And so I was telling everybody this way. And we went through this narrow, dry path and everybody made it outside of the church. And then when I woke up, the Lord said, what you saw across the street and you thought it was far away ended up being closer than you thought. And he said, that's what the rapture is right now. He said, it's closer than you think. So don't think that this thing is far away and that the Lord is not coming, because you know what year you're in. You know what day you're in. You know everything that's going on. You know everything that I've given you. And even though a lot of people really and truly believe that God made you a Christian to make you a better person, it's a little bit bigger than that. God, you became a Christian because God is expanding his family. He's put his spirit inside of you so that you can be one of the children of God, one of the Banaha Elohim. So as God is expanding his family, you are part of a bigger project because God is bringing into glory many sons and daughters with the Spirit of God. Okay? So this is not just about your earthly goodness. You know, it's like I came to church to I can be an earthly good person. No, God's like, no, actually, I'm preparing you for something a little bit bigger. Okay?
Yes.
So as we're here and we're going through this, we're in this incredible month, I guess toward the end of Nisan, and we're about to be into Iyar, which is the second month. And then the third month of the year produces the Pentecost, or the 50th day, okay? So now you have to know and understand how incredible this 50th day was, because every year when they have Passover, after Passover, they start counting 50 days to the day they married God at Mount Sinai.
Yeah.
So they have what they call the count of the Omer, okay? Jesus Christ went up to heaven on the 40th day of the Omer count. Do you know, you guys understand? Mm-hmm. So on 50 days, he on the 40th day, he ascended up into heaven. And then he told them to go to Jerusalem. Then 10 days later, the Holy Spirit fell, and he said, and when the day of Pentecost had fully arrived, which means it was now the 50th day.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, you have to know and understand that God wrote the Old Testament to fulfill it. He did not write the Old Testament just so you'd have some stories to read before you get to the New Testament. Okay? These will be fun stories they could play around with till we get to the real deal, right? He wrote about the lamb because he knew a lamb was coming, okay? He wrote about the cross, you know, because he knew that the cross was coming.
Yeah.
He wrote about Gomer in the Old Testament because he knew Germany was coming. And he wrote about Haman because he knew Hitler was coming. And he gave you the year in the book of Esther when it would come. So all of these things are like, God is trying to show you, I'm in control of the world. The whole narrative was already written before you got here. Okay? The narrative was written, and he could even say that, God could even say that to Jesus and Mary and everybody. The whole narrative was written before you got here. Okay? So what you're doing is you're part of the fulfillment of God's plan. Okay? You're part of the fulfillment. Because one day you'll be in glory. The trumpet will blast and you'll be in glory and you'll go, and like the Lord showed me, half the people that got raptured had no idea what happened. And I got a taste of it yesterday because, you know, they called me forward. We were at a leadership meeting. They called me forward to get prayed for. And, you know, it's one of those churches. They don't really talk about the rapture. Good people, but they don't talk about the rapture at all. So they called me up for prayer. Now, Pastor Ben, you know how I feel about people laying hands on me. I was like, let no one lay hands on you suddenly, right? That's a scripture. Like, you don't go nowhere going, lay hands on me, right? Because it was like, you go home, you have some things wrong, right? So I'm praying on the way up. I don't know if Drea saw me, but my fists were balled up the whole time. They were praying. I was praying too. I was like, and then the Lord told me, calm down. Calm down. These people have good hearts. It doesn't matter that they don't have knowledge about the rapture. They have good hearts. Let them pray over you. You're going to be okay. So they prayed over me, and it was just a wonderful meeting. We had great fellowship, met some good people, people who are really trying and doing their best to live for Christ, right? So let me begin in Exodus 19, and you're going to learn a little something here before we move into this. And hopefully it, Hopefully it doesn't get to the place where you're overwhelmed, because God overwhelmed me. You know, you pray and you ask, well, I need a little message, and he's like, and you're overwhelmed. So are you in Exodus chapter 19?
Yes.
Now, it says, in the third month after the Israelites left Egypt, on the very day they came to the desert of Mount Sinai, after they set out from Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai, and Israel camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. Okay, now look up here, because I'm going to teach you something. Okay, when did they leave Egypt? The 14th of Nisan. When did Jesus die on the cross? The 14th of Nisan. Okay, when did they cross the Red Sea? The 17th of Nisan. When did Jesus arise from the grave? The 17th of Nisan. So you see, God was doing all of that, fulfilling what's going on now. Okay, so here we are. So they leave Nisan 14th. Okay, now they leave Nisan 14th, and then they come. Then the next month, they spend the whole month in the wilderness, right? And then now Sivan comes, which is the third month. The 50th day of Sivan the 50th day of them leaving was the 6th of Sivan. So you see how God was counting their days? God was counting the days of Omer while they're going through the wilderness on their way to Mount Sinai. You understand? Like, God counted from the 14th day to make sure they didn't cross the Red Sea until the 17th day, because that's when Jesus is going to resurrect from the grave. So they were journeying for 3 days. Then they come to the Red Sea, and now it opens, and now they come through, and God knew it would happen on the 17th of Nisan, because he knew Jesus would resurrect on the 17th of Nisan. So now, but God is counting 50 days, because he's planning to marry these people. Okay? He's planning on going into a covenant with the nation of Israel. And this covenant is also a marriage, because he tells the people, and you'd have to read it in the Hebrew, when you come to the mountain, stand under the chuppah, which is the wedding canopy, yes, and then I'll come down and marry you, right? So, God, I want you to know, when it says here, in the third month after Israel left Egypt, you have to know it was in the third month. So now they're in the month of Sivan, okay? And so something's going to happen in this month. Here, let's continue reading at verse 3. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, this is what you are to say to the house of Jacob. Who's the house of Jacob?
Israel.
Thank you. And what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did in Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. If you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to tell or to speak to the Israelites. So Moses went back and summoned the elders and the people and set before them and all the words the Lord had commanded him to speak. Then the people responded together, and they said, we will do everything the Lord has said. So Moses brought their answer back to God. Now, what you just saw here was like me telling Pastor Ben, go tell the people, go tell your daughter I want to marry her. And this is what my covenant will be. And if she agrees, bring me back the answer so I'll know to set the wedding date, right?
Right.
That's what Moses just did. God said, go tell them this is what I want. And if they agree, come back and let me know. Moses comes back and says, the people have agreed to marry you. So God says, all right, wedding's on. Let's get started. Okay? So it says here in verse 9, I think. Yeah. So Moses, yeah. Okay. It says, verse 9, the Lord said to Moses, I am going to come to you in a dense cloud so that the people will hear me speaking with you and will always put their hope in you. Then Moses told the Lord what the people said, and the Lord said to Moses, go to the people, consecrate them today and tomorrow, have them wash their clothes, and be ready for the third day. Because there's going to be a wedding when?
On the third day.
There's always a wedding on the third day, okay? Because on that day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people, put limits around the people, around the mountain, and tell them, be careful that you do not go up the mountain to touch the foot of it. Whosoever touches the mountain shall be surely put to death. He shall surely be stoned or shot with an arrow. Not a hand is to touch, is to lay hand on him. Okay, it says, not a hand is to be laid on him. Rather, man or animal, he shall not be permitted to live. Only when the ram's horn sounds a loud blast, may they go up to the mountain. Okay, so now you have, wait till you hear the trumpet blast. Until you hear the trumpet blast, you cannot go up. Okay, so it says, after Moses had gone down the mountain to the people, he consecrated them and they washed their clothes. Then he said to the people, prepare yourselves for the third day. Abstain from your wives. And he says, and on the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning and a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. And everyone in the camp trembled. Verse 17, then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they, that's just, God is just funny. Okay, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended in the fire, in fire. And the smokes billowed up from it, and the smokes from the furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently. This is their wedding day now. And the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Then Moses spoke, and the Kal Elohim answered him. The voice of God spoke to him. You understand? That's the 222, right? So God speaks, and now this whole wedding is going on at Mount Sinai. Now listen, this is about as much sermonette as I'm going to probably get today. Everybody came out of Egypt. Everybody agreed to the covenant. Everybody did not enter the promised land.
That's true.
The journey was for 40 years. Since Christ to the present day, it's been 40 jubilees. You understand? So God's timing, you understand? When he's doing timing, he's doing timing. So now it's been 40 jubilees, okay? Because it said Moses led the people out of the camp up to God. And Jesus led the people out of the camp up to God. You understand? Or God led the people. So now you have to understand this whole wedding thing is going to happen again. Okay? This is really what you're waiting on if you really love Jesus. I mean, love him. Jesus really wants you to love him. You know that? It's really kind of a shame when you love somebody so much. Oh my goodness, it's just like, just melt your heart, right? But you know they don't love you back. You know what I mean? It's really heartbreaking. So the a girl was giving her testimony, and she said the one thing that breaks Jesus' heart is that he said to her, they don't love me. You know, the people don't love me. And it's just heartbreak. So God wants you to love him. And these people are going through the wilderness. They got married. They came under covenant. But how do you know that? How do you know God knows that you love him? According to 1 John. If you keep my commandments, I will know that you love me, right? So in the wilderness, they weren't keeping his commandments. So that's by that God knew these people do not love me, okay? Some of them did, but some of them didn't, okay? So in the wilderness, you've got to understand God is expecting you to be in relationship with him. Understand? I'll bet you that there were some people that made mistakes and repented.
Yeah.
And I'll bet you there's another group that made mistakes and said, don't worry about it. We're his people now and it doesn't matter, right? Yeah. So as they're going through this journey, they have this wedding day, and the wedding day is on the 50th day after leaving. It's on Pentecost. And now, before we get to the present Pentecost, because we're in the count of Omer right now. We're counting to the 50th day right now. Okay? And so I wanted you to see this right here. 5782 was something God gave to us. My friend Kevin, if you're listening, we know how this came about. He had part of it, and I had part of it. Together, we didn't know nothing. You understand? But the part he had, I was able to say, I know what that means. But he had to find the part that I didn't have. You understand? So to me, it's like this is something God wanted to give us, and God wanted the body of Christ to know, so that once we know this, we'll know we're still in right timing, because he knew what was going on. So 5782 is the year that Israel is in right now. When did 5782 start?
September,
okay, of last year, okay? So that means in 2021, it became 5782.
Right.
When will 5782 end?
September.
So that means in 2022, 5782 will continue. You understand? But this just happens to be the year that God says, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the church will all come together. Mm. It's a prophetic year that this whole thing of the Holy Spirit taking us up, the church up, to meet with Jesus is going to happen in this 5787th year. And we've been in this, and God has shown us evidence after evidence. As a matter of fact, I said, I've never seen this much evidence in my whole time of being a pastor of God trying to explain to us what is about to happen. Because the dream I had was to let me know it's closer than you think. You're looking out the window. You think it's a far off across the street, but pretty soon it'll be right in the sanctuary. You understand? So before I realized it, what I thought was far away was right there. But God had a pathway that led everyone out. Okay? Now, 5782 is the year, because that year is in Deuteronomy. But the five books of the Torah gives us 888, Jesus, 71, the Holy Spirit, 153, the church.
Yes.
And it brings those three together. But you can only get it if you use 5782. If you use any other number, you'd be one off. You'd be 889 and 72. And, you know, so it would all be off. But with this, everything fell into place. And it's like God is like, here, let me hand you this. Then he said, well, how did we get to this? You got to this because I showed you that they left out a scripture.
Right.
They left out a scripture that they added it to another scripture, but actually they're two separate scriptures. And once you do that, you'll come to the right number. We did that and we came to the right number, and it led us to all of this. And what was the scripture? Now, this is God is funny. What does it say? After the pandemic. So they added a scripture that said after the pandemic to another scripture that they weren't supposed to add it to. But God in this year shows us, no, that scripture says after the pandemic, that's supposed to be separate. So after the pandemic, God gives us this, okay? And here we are, 5782. We're in this prophetic year. And how did we get to this? Because we know 5708 was the 1948th year, and that was the year that Israel entered back into the land. And it's the 5708th verse of the Torah.
Yes.
Okay? Then we get to the thing where 19 years later, it talks about them getting back the land that they lost, which was Jerusalem. And it gives you the exact land that they won in the Six-Day War. So I'm trying to explain to you, God already measured out the plan. He already knows what's going to happen, and it's happening. And it's the children of God that many of us don't want to understand, because it's easier not to think and not to study. It's easier just to say, I just want to live right and go, okay? Or I just want to live right and know God, okay? But God's whole thing is, this is my plan. Whether you want to hear it or not, you're a part of it. Okay? You're a part of a wedding. You accepted Jesus. Guess what? You're getting married to God on a very wonderful day. Okay? And let's look at that day. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Because I want us to make sure that we understand this. And we're going to start in the book of Hebrew, but we're gonna start at verse 14, because I don't know, Lord gave me a little sermonette. I'm like a Bible teacher, but God's like, no, you need to do this too. Okay.
What chapter?
It's chapter 12 of the book of Hebrews, and it's in the 14th verse, and the Lord wanted me to start at the 14th verse, because he's trying to tell you exactly something that happened in the wilderness with the children of Israel. Okay? Because remember, some of them weren't living right. Okay? So it says, make every effort to live in peace with God. Okay? Make every effort to live in peace with all men, and to be what? What does your Bible say? Nobody reading with me? Holy, okay? So make every effort to live in peace with all men and be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Okay? So God wants you to know, stay in relationship with God, okay? Stay in relationship, because perfection does not make you holy because you don't have any of your own. Can you understand? You living like, oh, I stopped drinking and I stopped smoking and I don't go to clubs no more and I accepted Jesus. I am holy, right? And that's not your holiness. Your holiness is that you're in relationship. Because if you happen to slip up and you come back to God and you say, I repent, I want to make sure I stay on my road, you're still in holiness. You understand? Because sanctification is a process. And you now you have the understanding that the sanctification is a process. So I have to stay in relationship, because the one that keeps me holy is the one I'm in relationship with. Because you might not be a perfect Christian after you accept Christ. And Satan's always like, you should just quit and just go back to who you were. Well, then I wouldn't be in relationship and that would take away my holiness. I'd rather stay in relationship, repent, and get it right and be in holiness when he comes, because then he'll still be in me, because I'm still in him and we're still sanctifying or working this thing out. You understand? So understand, God is saying, without holiness, no one will enter the kingdom of God. Don't you quit. Don't you walk away and say, I don't believe in Jesus no more. Amen. Don't you find yourself a new religion that allows you to fornicate. Don't do, you know, because people do that. They say, I'm going to find a religion that more conducive to the way I live. And don't do that, though, because the one who makes you holy is the one you're in relationship with.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
The Lord wanted me to let you know that. Okay? It says, see to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many, so that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance. He sold his inheritance right as the oldest son. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. He could bring about no change of mind, though he sought the blessing with tears. You understand that? So God is saying, stay in relationship, stay in relationship, okay? Don't sell your inheritance rights, okay? Because your inheritance rights is something of great inheritance and great wealth. So make sure that you don't sell it for the opportunity to sin.
Right.
Okay? So now, he gives you this advice because he wants you to know you have a wedding coming. So he reads in verse 18, it says, you have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further words be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. Even if an animal touched the mountain, it must be stoned. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. Remember that wedding, you guys?
Oh, yeah.
He says, this is not how your wedding is going to be. So, but he's letting you know, stay in relationship because you do have a wedding coming. So he says here, but you have come to Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem, to the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirit of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. So he says, you have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. That's still God's promise to the church. That's still your wedding day. It's not going to be scary, but when did the wedding day happen back then? 50 days after Passover. So the fulfillment of the first resurrection of souls happened at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, because the New Testament said the first harvest would be at Unleavened Bread. So in Unleavened Bread, the first resurrection of Old Testament saints went up to the holy city. He said the next resurrection or harvest is going to be the wheat harvest, and that will be, he said, at the Feast of Weeks. What's the Feast of Weeks? Pentecost, okay? When did they get married in Exodus? 50 days at Pentecost. So how the Lord is telling me is like, I know they don't understand. I know there's a lot of numbers. I know there's, but you're part of the plan whether you want to know it or not.
Right.
You want to talk about the rapture? Fine with me. When it's time to go, mama said, get in the car, right? So it don't matter, you know what I mean? When it's time to go, you one of the kids, you got to get in the car and go. So we're supposed to live our lives in accordance to the understanding of the times that we're living in, okay?
Yeah.
So let's go to Psalms 121. Hallelujah. So when you get to Psalms 121, let me know. Oh, amen. You guys are fast. Give me a chance. Okay. Let's talk about what the Lord has shown us, okay? We're going to start in verse 1 of Psalms 121, okay? Now, Psalms 121, for, you know, okay, now you guys have to understand. God said this to me. I don't know, 2001, I was working at Onyx, Drea, so I don't know what year that was, but maybe 2001, 2002. I was doing prison ministry. And God had just told me to start a church. And I said, okay, I'm gonna go back to school and get my ministry license and blah, 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 blah. And God went, no. He said, basically, that'll mess you up. He says, no, I want you to study Hebrew. And if you study Hebrew, I'll teach you the Bible. Is that an offer from God? God said, if you study Hebrew, I'll teach you the Bible. That is the best offer that any human being can get. Really? So I started studying Hebrew like a nut. I was like, I want to know everything about Hebrew because God is going to teach me the Bible if I study Hebrew. So I'm studying Hebrew and God is teaching me the Bible. Okay? I'm explaining some simple things to the kids that we were talking to the other day, a little couple. They hope to be married someday. But I realize we know a lot as S4C. You know why? Everything is rooted in Hebrew. Everything is rooted in what God said he would do in my life. And God has fulfilled exactly what he said he would do in my life. He's taught me the Bible. Then he told me, you're going to be a teacher of your teachers. So God has fulfilled everything in my life that he says. So when you read Psalms 121, and I read it, it says, I lift up my eyes to the hill where, no, it doesn't start there. See, I would know as a Hebrew student that it starts by saying a psalm of ascent, okay? That is part of the verse. It is not a title. So in your Bible, it might have it as a title, but in the Hebrew, it's part of the verse. There are 15 Psalms of Ascent. Only one has a lament in it, which is the image of a shepherd's staff, which means the shepherd is calling out and using his shepherd's staff to lead the sheep out. Yeah. Okay? So only one has the lament in it, okay? The numerical value for the lament is 74. Three times that is 222, which means now all of a sudden this is not just the lament, but the voice of God calling his sheep out, okay? Now I'm seeing this because I study Hebrew and I know what I'm looking at. So God is saying since 2020 began with lies, 2021 saying, in this year, you're going to hear the voice of God and I'm going to lead you out. The shepherd's going to leave you out with the staff.
Yeah.
But 2021 on the Gregorian calendar for us is gone. But God is like, I didn't measure the Torah by the Gregorian calendar. Yeah. 5708 is 1948.
Yeah.
Okay? But 5708 started in September and ended in September.
Yeah.
5782 is the year that started, but it starts in 2021 and it ends this year in 2022. Okay? So the Lord is like, everything I showed you is still here, and you have to understand. And he tells me this. You know it's soon. Prepare the people to go. That's what the Lord said to me this morning. You know how close you are. Prepare the people to go. Last week was about preparing you to go. Why? We were talking about living for God. We were talking about being in relationship with God. Yeah. We were talking about loving God, being intimate with God. Not just being your religious thing that you do at church. I can care less what you do at church. Everybody's nice at church. I want to know how you are when you're not here. Amen. And I know God feels the exact same way. It's like I'm going to trick God when I go to church, but when I get home, woo, my wife better be ready. It's like God, as if God doesn't follow you home, right?
Right.
So the whole thing is about getting you ready, okay? So as I read this, now I pull up Psalms 121's first verse, and I said, what's the numerical value of this whole verse? And it's 2220.
Ultimate.
Which means, now look, when you time something by 10 in Hebrew, you're saying this is the ultimate fulfillment of it. So the ultimate fulfillment of the voice of God is the trumpet that speaks to the people to say, come up here. That means this is the end of it, right? So God is giving me this understanding, like, this is not just 5782 is not just this year of deliverance. This is the year of the ultimate voice of God. Yeah. This is the year that the shepherd's staff is used. Okay, so now I'm really studying and trying to look in to further things that this is talking about. Now remember when they got married in Exodus chapter 19, said Moses spoke. And then it said, and the Kal Elohim, the voice of God spoke, which that word is 222.
Yeah.
So the 222 spoke on the day of the wedding. But in 2021, or this year, 5782, the 2220, the ultimate voice of God speaks. So God is like, I'm giving you all of this. It doesn't matter if they don't. You tell them, if they get it, they get it. If they don't, they don't. But you need to know your wedding's been planned and you're a part of it. So get your dress and let's go.
Amen.
So a lot of things that I say today, you may not understand, but I'm going to try to explain to you as well as I possibly can. Let's go to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32. Elohim Tov. Matter of fact, when I get home today, I'm putting this together as a Bible study.
Amen.
You know why? You need to be able to look at this. Because I'm looking at it this morning go, you're ridiculous. Like, how did you put all this detail in this? I really was like that this morning. And when I was, as I was studying it, I was like, it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger and more evidence and more evidence.
Man, 10 minutes, Pastor
Sandy. Woohoo, I see, I knew Pastor Ben was gonna say something like that. Never fails. Okay, now, watch this. You're in Deuteronomy chapter 32. Let's go to verse 29, okay? Now, verse 29 would be the verse for the year 2021, or 5782, meaning that 5782 would fall between that year and 2022. So 2021 and 2022 are both conducive to 5782, okay? Now, when you read verse 29, this is what it says. If only they were wise and would understand and discern what their latter end is. So this verse is saying, if only we were wise, we would know that this was the Lador HaAcharon, that this was the terminal time, that this is the end time. So I'm like, okay, What's the numerical value of that verse? Okay? So I pulled it up and it says 1661. I'm like, oh man, I thought it was going to be like 2022 or whatever, right? No, it's 1661. And so I didn't even look at it. I'm just going to be honest with you guys. I didn't look at it. I said, well, 1661, that means nothing to me. Let's move on, okay? So I read the verse, the next verse. What's the next verse? 30, right? How can one man chase 1,000 or two put 10,000 to flight unless the rock, who's the rock?
Right.
Jesus had sold them, unless the Lord had given them up. So he's saying, how could the enemies of God overcome Israel unless God gives them the opportunity to do it? The rock would have to sell them out. So don't brag that you're overcoming Israel or that you're going to make Israel come into your submission. You wouldn't be able to do anything if the rock didn't sell them out.
Wow. Yep.
So that's in the tribulation. You understand? So that's in the tribulation. You got one scripture that's saying this is the end time. And the next scripture is saying the rock is going to sell them out to you. Okay? So I said, what's the numerical value of that? Because you're crazy, Pastor Sandy. Okay, now watch this. Wait a minute. You guys got to see this. Okay. Now watch this. Everybody in here probably knows this number. 2294. What's that? The numerical value of Psalms 117. Hallelujah. Get in here, you guys. Okay. Psalms 117. Psalm 17, 117, you know what it does? Divides the whole Bible.
Yeah.
You got 594 verses on this side and 594 verses on this side. And in the middle, you got Psalms 117. It's two verses that equal out to 2294. I looked it up. And 2294, 22 is for the book of Revelation, which is the last of the 22 books. Because the Bible is written like this, because people may not know. The Bible is written like this. There's 22 Hebrew letters, right? God's up there going, I'm going to write a perfect book. It's going to have 66 books. Why? I'm going to have 22 for me, 22 for my son, 22 for the Holy Spirit, and it's going to be a perfect book. It'll be 66 books. So the Bible is based on the Hebrew letters.
Right.
That's why anybody that studies Hebrew is reading the book, and they're going, "Why, my goodness, every book is based on the framework of the letter, right? So you got 22, 22, 22, and you got 66 books, and God says, there you are. That's my perfect book to the world, okay? So, why was I talking about that, Pastor Ben? Oh, okay, because of this. Because I'm 62, Pastor Ben is 62. I don't know why I'm asking this. Okay, so 2294, this is how God is separating the Bible. Revelation is the last book of the Bible, so it's the last of the 22 books. And what does Revelation mean? The unveiling. So 22 means to reveal. 94 is knowing, and it speaks to the Gentile nations. So he's saying something's going to be revealed, and it won't be something that you want to know. It says it's a verb now. Now you're knowing it. Okay? So the Bible says you're going to know it. Why? He says, because this is going to be 2294. It is the revealing of something now that you're going to know. Okay? Now, I look at that, and then we go to Psalms 119. And you divide Kof and Lamed, which is the shepherd's staff, and those two verses divide the letters, 11 on one side, 11 on the other. But you put those two verses together, it has the same numerical value. And those two verses are talking about when the Lord speaks, then I was in heaven, right? So one scripture says the Lord will speak, and the next scripture says, and we'll be in heaven. So it divides right there. So now I got, oh, okay. So that's 2294. So I get to this scripture that says, for 2022, God is going to, the rock is going to give Israel over to them. Okay? So I want to know, what's the numerical value? The numbers come up. Two. I'm like, yes. 9. Yes. 3. You guys the same way I was. I was like, oh, man. Lord, that don't make no sense. Why don't you look it up before you figure out that it don't make no sense? So I look up 2293. And let me tell you what it revealed. Okay. 2293 is the 22 is for revealed. Revealed will be the power of God, the love of God, the will of God, the shield of God. Revealed will be the wedding chamber opened. Revealed will be will mean you will see the host of God. Revealed means you will be in the temple of God and you will receive your inheritance.
Wow.
That's what 2293 means. So God's like, see, you jumped the gun.
Wow.
So here's God like, okay, I want to show you some more. And I'm so, remember I had nothing this morning? I got all of this morning, okay? So God is like, I'm trying to show you that everything is still on right course. 5782, you're still in that year. And everything I showed you is still about to happen. Because I keep trying to tell you guys, hang in there. This is about you becoming a part of God's family in heaven and never seeing the tribulation. This is what this is about. And if you think of it at any less than that, you'll lose sight of what God has for you.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
So now, since I missed that big thing, I said, well, I should go back and see what 166 1661 is, because that was the other one for the previous verse that says, if only they knew their latter end. Okay, so let me get to there. So I get to there, and it is, oh, it gives me verses. So now the first verse that it gives me is John 6:39. And the phrase it gives me out of John 6:39 is at the last day. So at the last day is 1661. So then I wanted to look at Malachi and then the Song of Songs. And both of them were talking about this is the last days. And the Song of Song was saying, like, it's going to be beautiful to see the body of Christ in heaven like a flower amongst lilies, right? So that verse was talking about the church arriving and the beauty that we were going to see while we're there. This is all 1661, okay? So all of, so I get to the bottom of this, and it says, by the way, 11 times 151 is 1661. So make sure you look up 151, because it ends the 11th letter. What's the 11th letter? Kaf, which divides, right? And Kaf is like an ending letter, but Kaf means in Hebrew, the crowning accomplishment, okay? So he says, make sure you look up 151. So I look up 151, and what comes up? The people of God to be ministers and a priesthood. The gathering up. And then that sent me to where? Genesis chapter 1, verse 6 through 10. What is that about? We'll look at it. It says, I will be with you. That is also the 151. The multitudes, smitten by God. And then it takes a word from Elijah, the whirlwind, is also 151. So 11 times the whirlwind is the people of God. Okay? So all of this God has given me, like everything is telling you, the whole, he says, if we keep going, everything's going to tell you you're closer than you think. So tell them, it doesn't matter if they understand the numbers or not. I put this together as a perfection.
Yeah.
The numbers are perfect because I put this together. Do you know that they were going to hang 11 men after Hitler? They were going to hang 11 people? And the prophecy said, like Haman's sons, they were only going to hang 10. It gave you the year, and it happened in the exact year that it said, but they had 11 ready. You know what happened the night before? One guy commits suicide. So they hung 10 the next day, and you fulfilled God's prophecy. So I'm trying to tell you, no matter what you think, God's in control of the ship.
Yeah.
He's writing the story. You're a part of the story. Do you have to understand the whole story? No. But read the fine print, because the fine print says, get ready for a wedding. Amen. Don't get so excited about where you live, because it ain't all that. Get ready for a wedding.
Yeah.
Got a new car? Good for you. Get ready for a wedding.
Yeah.
New job starting next year? That may happen, but get ready for a wedding. Because
yeah.
Your whole plan, since you came into this, you signed off. I am signing off that legally, no matter what I'm doing, when it's time for the wedding, I'm out. You signed up for it.
Yeah.
Okay, so you, don't be like, oh, I was just getting ready to get married. You're going to a wedding. Be quiet. Oh, everything is about you signing off and telling God, I'm going to be a part of your plan. Okay, so now I get to that. And then the Lord says, oh, by the way, 151, which stands for the people of God, to be ministers and priests in the kingdom, and the gathering of them up. And it says, and I will be with them, and they will be the multitude, and they will be a part of the whirlwind. Okay, he says, oh, do you know that? The Lord says, you know that 151 plus 151 is 302? I went, no, I play football. So he goes, no, 151 plus 151 is what? 302, right? So now he wants me to look up 302. I look up 302, and what is it? The church, the ecclesia, okay? In Greek, the priest of the Most High. And drawn out.
Wow.
So God says, if you keep looking, you're going to find the same plan, because I put the plan together. And I put it together for my people so they'll know that when it's about time to leave, to stay ready to go. I told you this morning, he said, I told you this morning, you know it's soon. Prepare my people to leave. These are the same words that God gave me when he called me in 2003. You are not being called to be a mega church or like those people. I'm calling you to prepare my people to leave. Okay? God's people are supposed to be ready to fly at all times. Okay? Does it say don't plan your life? No. Does it say sit around doing nothing? Because no. Occupy till I come.
Yeah.
But it is telling you, you signed off on your personal lifestyle and plans that you have. Whenever the trumpet blows, it's over. I don't care if you're in the middle of a football game. It's over.
Yeah.
You understand? It's over when the trumpet blows and you're going to something greater. And I guarantee you, when you get there, you won't complain. Okay? You will not complain. So I forgot that cartoon. This guy's trying to snatch this guy out of his Volkswagen. He had it all souped up, chrome on the sides. He put a new system in there, Blypont, and he was blasting his music. And this guy's trying to pull him out of the car. He's like, no, I put a lot of work into this. And the guy's yanking him. And he's like, no, this is my car. I love my car. And he yanks him out of the car. And he puts him in a Rolls Royce. And he goes, this is your car. And he goes, oh. Immediately, he forgot about the Volkswagen and the blind pot and the chrome rims. He goes, oh, okay. And just drove off. So you got to understand, God has a better plan. Don't get too attached to what's going on here.
Yeah.
I'm seeing where the Lord wanted me to go. Pastor Ben said I had 10 minutes. So we have to go to Peter. Peter. Okay. Unless I've already talked 10 minutes. Did we already talk 10 minutes?
Oh, yeah.
No, I didn't.
Oh, yeah.
I was counting it. Okay. I think it's 2 Peter, so I want you to 2 Peter chapter 3. Okay, and we're going to, and it's verse 8 finally. Let's see here. 2 Peter, nope. Okay, maybe it is. Oh, I'm in 1 Peter, that's why. Here we go, 2 Peter. All right, here we go. We're in chapter 3, verse 3. Okay. This is it, I'm telling you. God said, don't matter if you get it or not, tell him. Okay? It says, first of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come. What are they going to be scoffing about? Scoffers, it says, following after their own evil desires, they will say, where is the rapture? Where is the big coming of the Lord Jesus Christ you guys were talking about? That means that God knew you would be getting ready for the rapture. And guess what? The Lord told me a long time ago, it's not people that don't know Christ that are scoffing you. He says it's people in the church.
Right.
Where's the rapture that you were talking about? They don't even talk about that at my church. You must go to a weird church. So it says scoffers will come in the last days scoffing their own evil desires. I don't have to be ready for a rapture. It's like, so it says, they will say, where is this coming? He promised. Ever since the fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by the word of God, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. And by these waters also, the world of that time was deluded and destroyed. I always wondered what that meant. What does the waters in the beginning have to do? Okay, he's talking about Noah. No, he's talking about something deeper. In one of here it is. In 151, numerical value 151, which says the people of God ministering as priests, and it says in their gathering. The gathering sent me to Genesis chapter 1 verse 6. And what does Genesis chapter 1 verse 6 says? It says, I divided the waters from the waters, and I took half the waters and gathered them and brought them above the firmament, the sky, and left half of the waters below the firmament under the sky. He says, they forget I did this. You get to Revelation and it says, oh, by the way, the waters are people, nations, and people. It's people, nations, and languages. Understand? So God said, when I divided the water, I was doing something to show you I'm going to take people, nations, and tongues above the firmament, but I'm going to leave half of them below the firmament. And the people who are below the firmament will not see the water that went up above the firmament until judgment day.
Yes.
So, since the time of creation in Genesis chapter 6, It never rained. Until when? Until Noah's day. You mean the waters you took above the earth didn't come back down to, from the earth until judgment day? And you're saying the people that you're about to take and separate and bring above the firmament, that the world won't see them again until judgment day? And then Revelation says when he comes back, he's bringing you with him.
Yeah.
You're the water that's coming back with the judgment. So God is like, I've shown you all of this to make sure that you understand this has always been planned. It doesn't matter who believes it or who doesn't believe it, who has a knowledge of it, who doesn't. You got Jesus and you walking out your salvation, you're headed to a wedding.
Yes.
My church don't talk about it. Don't matter. My thing was the person told me, he said, I got to heaven, half the people in heaven didn't even know what happened. Rapture happened, half the people in heaven go, what happened? Other people, we got raptured. Other, what was that? What is that? Don't worry, I'll explain it to you on the way up.
Right.
Okay? This wonderful future that God, now, listen to this, and this will be the last of my 10 minutes. As fast as this. Okay, now watch this. This is the last of my 10 minutes. I'm sitting there, and these guys are talking about yesterday at the meeting, they go to this church about buying crypto, you know, they're buying cryptocurrency. And burning inside of me was, pull up on your phone that cryptocurrency's patent number is 060606, so that they can see what they're getting involved in is something that's leading up to the mark of the beast and 666. And the Lord said, don't show them anything. Just be quiet. So I just sat there and just talking. They're talking about crypto. Now, I know, you know, I know and understand. It does. God doesn't care that they don't know.
Right.
They love Jesus, though.
Yeah.
God's like, I'm more concerned with their hearts than with their knowledge. You understand?
Yeah.
I'm more concerned with their hearts than with their knowledge.
Yeah.
So don't be running out yelling at people. If you don't know about the rapture, your church ain't. We know about Jesus. We love Jesus.
Yeah.
All right. We know about Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay. Y'all don't know no Hebrew at your church? We love Jesus. Be satisfied with that.
Yeah.
I'm very thankful that God has given me all of this wonderful knowledge. But without Jesus, it's nothing.
Nothing.
You understand? So don't worry about them. Pray for them. Encourage them to stay in Christ.
Amen.
Because the day is coming.
Yeah.
And God says it's closer than we think. Praise God.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. I did it.
Amen. Beautiful. Beautiful.